Around the NFL Podcast has stronger backs than Tiger Woods.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, coming to you from a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Colleen Wolf, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, men and women?
Hey, hey. What's up?
Not bad.
Yeah, I got nervous there. I'm like, Wes isn't here. Do I step in? I haven't been here in a while.
You're in his seat. You need to fulfill all of his roles.
I think you nailed it. I mean, right out of the gate.
You know, that's what I was hoping for.
We need some big words.
Big words.
Some folksy wisdom.
And, I'm on it.
Get fired up at some point. Start yelling about something.
Okay. Oh, I can definitely do that.
At some point. Actually, you know what?
Some good life lessons.
How long have we all known each other now? 6, 7 years? Something like that?
About that, yeah.
We're all friends. I've seen you annoyed. I've seen you angry. But I've never heard you raise your voice. But,
really?
Yeah, but legitimately, like angry, like yelling
the
and mad.
The history is very rich here.
Now, if I had Gonzo next to me right now and I said, Gonzo, is that something that happens inside?
John Ronald Gonzalez, born March 12, 1977, is an American sports writer who's married to NFL media broadcaster Colleen Wolf. John, who's a Pisces, resides in Los Angeles with his wife and two dogs.
Is it possible that John would say, oh, yeah, that's something that happens quite a bit?
It takes a lot for me to get to that level, but once I get to that level, it's rough. I've learned to kind of like de-escalate things because I don't like to get that.
When's the last time he witnessed you in that state?
I don't know. It's been a while. I mean, I usually yell about work and stuff like that. So I get home and that's when everybody, that's when the real me comes out.
You don't seem like someone to be raised.
There's not a lot of stuff I get really angry about.
You think John's afraid of you?
No. What? That's the weirdest question ever.
Hey, how about that Erica, the little game you did with us for Instagram where you asked us a bunch of questions?
Yeah, for sure.
And then Colleen said she would rather be famous than rich.
Right. Yep. And then I immediately said, no, I want to take that back. I want to change my answer. I didn't think it through. I would rather be rich than
famous. Yeah, but that just shows your like gut feeling. Like that was just
But I got
answer.
Nervous when you were asking me these questions. I'm not a good test taker.
This is going to be on the Instagram Around the NFL handle.
Yes, the ATN podcast.
Don't miss it.
Valentine's Day.
I already hate it. I already want to sabotage this and somehow delete my clip.
Dan's clip is, you know, as close to a horror movie as we're ever going to tape. So just enjoy that.
It was a little bit off-putting. Even I have to say that. Colleen, great to have you here. I started watching All or Nothing, the new Eagles season. So far, a little underwhelmed, 2.5 episodes in, but you have popped up a couple times.
Really?
Well, yeah, on like the Thursday night football dais and whatnot. But I'm waiting for like a Connie somewhere on the scene. Maybe a flashback to the Super Bowl parade and there's some Cardi B rapping going on. None of that yet.
Okay. I haven't seen it yet either.
Do you get royalties for... I mean, because I would say, why no cutaways to our show? We discussed the Eagles for probably 25 hours this season. No cutaways. Nothing.
Yeah. We haven't gotten...
All or nothing. More like nothing.
I know Mike Garofalo was angry too because I don't think he made an appearance in it. So
tough sitch.
Covered them the whole
tough
year.
Tough sitch in the big spot. And speaking of Connie Fox being with us, really on a whim... I decided last night to launch a new contest. It's the Connie Fox theme song sweepstakes.
What?
Where I'm calling upon all of you listeners out there to submit a 30 seconds or less theme song jingle for Colleen. And, you know, have you...
This is a thing?
Yeah, this is a real thing. I have set it up at Gmail, theatnpodcast@gmail.com. Send in your submissions, and if you're selected as the winner, Erica, what do they get?
There's plenty of stuff that you could win. Picture yourself on an island with the breeze, with the one and only Colleen Wolf.
I'm getting a vacation out of this,
bringing
too?
You Mai Tais.
Wait, with the winner of the contest.
I'm working?
You're serving the winner.
Yes. And we'll put it on the Instagram. We'll play it live, and all 25 listeners of the ATN podcast will hear it.
The ATN podcast at gmail.com. Connie Fox theme song sweepstakes. Wow us. You be creative. Again, brevity is important here.
Yeah. Can we put a limit on maybe 30 seconds or less?
I already said that.
Oh, you did.
That very the exact
round. Like-minded.
Yeah. Okay.
Qualification, 30 seconds or less. Intro, theme.
Less is good.
And the winner, I'm sure it will become a staple of the show, so you will become a part of the history of this show. And the history is indeed
very rich.
And Colleen will serve you drinks on an island.
What made you think of this?
I don't know. It just popped in my head when
Who's paying for the people to get to the island?
All that stuff is a little fire festy. I'm not sure if any of that's happening, but one thing I could tell you is definitely happening.
Catalina Island, maybe?
Is that you will be a part of the show and you'll get a shout out and maybe we could wrestle up some merch with a Shadowy League figure. And Colleen Wolf,
I love this.
And you, the listener, and the composer will be tied together forever.
Did you think about this when you guys ran into me in the airport in Miami?
Oh.
Was it that morning?
You were stumbling around the Indianapolis airport. You had missed your flight. You looked
a mess.
Lost and disappointed to see me, frankly.
I still had my makeup on from the day before when I was doing the show.
And you were just sort of like walking aimlessly until you found Rob Ryan to have a drink with.
It was like you
had missed your flight at that point.
The successful professional broadcaster version of the Walk of Shame.
It truly was.
You were in your show makeup and just wandering around a strange airport because you couldn't get to your initial flight. How many times have I told you to gotta get to that?
That was the first flight I missed all year. And then I passed out on some like rapper's shoulder on the plane on the way to
some rapper.
Miami. Yeah.
I mean, well, who is the rapper? Come on.
I don't know. He was talking about how he had to go to the studio. He was a very large person, and he was wearing a soft jacket, and I was in a bad place. So
I mean, here
took a nap.
So bad.
Colleen's sleeping on Rick Ross, and she doesn't even know it.
So anyway, Connie Fox theme song sweepstakes, theATNpodcast@gmail.com. Send your submissions in there, and we are off. Okay, here we go. Today's show. Valentine's Day is tomorrow. What a joke. I mean, can we please?
Yeah.
With the Valentine's Day, we're all grown-ups here.
Handled it last night. That's the way to go. We went out for Valentine's Day last night to avoid the L.A. madness, the snarl.
Smart.
That is good.
I mean, have family coming in, too, so there was no way I could have checked that box.
We don't even do the holiday. I don't even think we celebrate it. Maybe that's a little sad.
Maybe we need to reconnect on that. Kids like it.
We go to the movies.
You do nothing. I find that if you do nothing, everyone says they want, no, don't, please don't worry about it. But if you literally do nothing, I sometimes sense some psychic reverb to that, just to literally do nothing at all on Valentine's Day your significant other. Nothing will be done for me, but I'm saying the other way.
She doesn't care, and I don't care.
Yeah.
All right.
And we're not going anywhere, let's face it. I mean, we're locked in. We're in a long-term deal with no outs.
Maybe check out Parasite. That seems like a good Valentine's Day movie.
Anyway, with Valentine's Day upon us, NFL couples who need a divorce. Ouch.
So much for
long-term commitment.
And before we do that, let's do some news.
I'm LaKeisha Westland, and this is the beautiful, intelligent, funny.
Ooh, keep going.
One of the most badass women working in sports today. Colleen Wolf, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay, I'll take it.
What is it?
You guys just torture me when I come on. Like, that's what this has turned into.
I do like when Colleen goes into the newsy voice. Thank you, everybody.
Wait, was that the one? Didn't you and LaKeisha tape an episode where it was decided too...
A lost episode of Uncorked.
Too hot for public consumption?
Yeah, it was a little too much.
Got a little too loose.
Yeah, we had to nix that.
We've done that on the Throwback Podcast.
Uncorked.
Episodes have disappeared. Mark, you were on an
episode
too
early before taping.
We uncorked too many. Yeah.
I don't actually blame myself for that lost episode.
No, that was not on you. Definitely more on other
That was on me.
You guys have a lost episode?
The Throwback Podcast has multiple lost episodes because the conceit of the show is to listen to music and drink, and sometimes that has devastating effects on the broadcast.
This was Coldplay? This was Counting Crows.
It was August and Everything After by the Counting Crows.
I did immense notes and homework, did all this preparation, and couldn't have been prouder of the episode. It will never be heard by a human.
I mean, we started singing Acanelli, so that probably should have been lost.
I mean, Acanelli, classic.
And shout out to LaKeisha.
You Acanelli fans out there know what song she's talking about.
Oh, that one. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Is that how you pronounce her name?
His.
Shout out. But I only know the girl part. Forget about the guy part in that song.
I don't know. Are we talking about the same song?
Yeah, I don't.
Are we talking? You'll cut this one out.
On that one.
That's a woman singing.
Is it?
And then the other guy comes in like growling. Anyway, here we go. Lakeisha's show Uncorked. Check it out on YouTube.
Great show.
And that episode with Colleen has a ass load of views. So good job.
Wow. Lakeisha. Cool.
All right, let's get into it. The NFL has reinstated Myles Garrett after an indefinite suspension. Of course, the Browns defensive end is back. This came shortly after Garrett met with Commissioner Roger Goodell. He had been indefinitely suspended by the NFL since Week 10 for the incident against the Steelers on Thursday Night Football, where he clocked Pittsburgh quarterback Mason Rudolph in the head with a helmet. Obviously, a devastating setback for the Browns season. They lost arguably their best player, and Garrett's reputation was upended. And Mark, now he's back, and you assume he'll be smart here, and you'll never have to hear about anything like this again. But it is another sordid chapter in Browns history when you look back everything about Garrett, who had blown up into a superstar, and then it just all went away, and now he can move on.
You were there, Colleen, at that game when it happened, and it just evolved into utter chaos, and there were no end to the hot takes coming out of that game as there should have been. My one takeaway, I never thought that he would be suspended going into next season. I think that this was a clean end of the year suspension, then you break it and you give him a new chance. But if I had to pick one player on the Browns that this would not have happened to, it would have been Myles Garrett. I know that even earlier in the year on that Monday night game against the Jets, he had some moves that delved into, I think, ultra-violence.
He was playing a little dirty in that
game. He was.
Yep.
I think he was pushing very hard.
He's had a ton of personal fouls his whole career, right?
He has, but this event is just something I would never have. Myles Garrett also weeks before was in Cleveland at a dog park where a so-called Browns fan came up and just punched him through the window of his car. Myles Garrett did nothing. No retaliation. And
smart.
He's never been someone that you would peg as like the violent, dirty player. And that's what always threw me about this. And I think the Browns season went off an absolute cliff from that point on, if it was already heading in that direction. But you were there. I don't know. I took it to be one of the most chaotic scenes of the last 10 years.
It was, for sure. I mean, for us, we were on the field. We were just about to start bringing out the entire set for the TNF postgame. And we were going over different storylines of things we wanted to talk about. And that was one game where I had taken notes the entire game. And I was like so proud of like how organized I was. And I was like, ooh, I can go in like any direction right now. And then all of a sudden, everything broke out into complete chaos, and it was on the other side of the field from where we were standing, and they weren't replaying it at all in the stadium. So we had no idea what was going on, and all we could hear were Joe Buck and Troy Aikman like, oh, wow, look at that. We were like, what? Look at what? What's happening right now? It was complete and utter chaos. And like you said, when you think about Myles Garrett, it just seemed so out of character from the narrative that we had all kind of heard about him before, how he was super thoughtful and he's into poetry and he's super, I don't know, introspective. And then to kind of have him have that meltdown, I just feel like what he's done to his own reputation is a punishment of itself that, I mean, I don't think any punishment levied upon him would be greater than what he's done to his own reputation.
I think this was done well. I think the NFL handled this well. I remember when it happened, the pearl clutching afterwards, people saying he should be charged with a crime and thrown into jail, and it was all like a little bit over the top. But at the end of the day, the 6-game suspension, a reputation that is essentially ruined, that he has to, you know, work to get back, and the fine missing the game action, it cost him over $1 million. So don't do it again.
And the lucky thing is he didn't, you know, maim for him and Mason.
Right.
You know, very easily that was another potential outcome if the swing had just been a little different or random, where it would have been way more serious. Doesn't like thinking about nights like that where you were working, Colleen, and in the season and it was crazy, almost like now that we're a week and a half into the offseason, it almost seems like it makes me shudder. To like think about how
about
shudder
again?
In what sense?
Just like it, like, you know, shudder. Like just like thinking about the madness of the season, it just feels so. Like I've let go of that, and now it almost seems like a nightmare. I don't want to think of it. Not a nightmare, but like
Greg really like
Greg, okay?
revealing things right now. No, I've been trying
I can't to, like think back to the season. You have to sort of trick yourself into not thinking about it.
I've been trying to like deprogram myself for the past, I don't know, week, 2 weeks since after Super Bowl. It feels like those first couple days afterwards, I felt like I should be doing all sorts of stuff, but there was nothing to do.
One thing that helped us from the, you know, the madness of the Super Bowl was observing 95% of the game behind soundproof glass windows, where I have no audible memory of the Super Bowl at all. I don't understand what room we were in. It made no sense to me, and I need to go back and watch it on television for even 1 second of memory.
Well, you could do that.
Not feeling compelled to.
Haven't done it yet. Okay, let's move on. The Bengals are willing to work with Andy Dalton on a trade with Cincinnati holding the number one pick in April's draft. By the way, night one of the draft, April 23rd, 2020, my 40th birthday.
Whoa, in Vegas?
I don't know. We haven't been invited to Vegas or invited to the draft in several years. I don't know if it happens this year.
There's talk about it. There's, I think, a battle between shadowy league figures. And the one that's in charge of the podcast department, I think, is pushing for us to go. And there's some shadowy pushback.
At least someone's battling for us.
So let's make that happen, I think.
It's so close, too.
You're so hyper-connected, Connie, that if this happens, mm-hmm. I would be counting on you. And we need Mark's wife, Simone, who shares the same birth year as me, also to be in town. You have to set up the club and the bottle service.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
You got to get
I got connections now.
I know you do.
This is great.
Anyway, the draft is April 23rd.
Ricky's just shaking her head now.
What?
Ricky's my connection.
Why? Do you find it would be almost hypocritical to have like a club birthday party?
We have like Calvin Harris there, Tiesto.
I don't think, no, I was the one that was like, we should go to Vegas for your birthday, even if we're not working the draft. Like, it's your 40th. I think we should. I was shaking my head at the fact that you think Colleen's going to like hook it up, because as soon as the party time comes around, she stops answering and then Instagram stories herself on a yacht.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow.
I'm
still upset.
I mean,
Ricky,
just take
I'm
the
sorry.
L, you know?
Yeah, it's okay.
There was a yacht. There was a yacht involved. I had never been on a yacht.
Yeah.
At least you haven't filed this complaint on all social media platforms and now on microphone.
Yes.
I've seen this multiple times.
Yeah, yeah.
Also a dinner that was set up for months in advance.
You know?
It's fine.
Try to improve yourself. Put yourself in a better situation for next time.
Ouch.
Thanks, Jeez.
Wow.
The fatherly advice you weren't asking for.
Right. Great.
I love you, Ricky. Bengals are going to take Joe Burrow number one. I don't know anything about, you know, how these draft boards are heading, but that one feels like it's going to happen. And that means Andy Dalton is out of a starting job. He already lost his job once during the season last year. But here is the information we have here. Rap Sheet reported on NFL Now. One thing that is very clear is how highly the Bengals organization thinks of Andy Dalton off the field, on the field, in the locker room, how he handled last year and everything. My understanding is, according to someone briefed of the team's plans, they're going to work with Andy Dalton to facilitate a trade out of Cincinnati when the time is right. Greg, we talked about it on our most recent show that the Bears jump out as a team that would maybe make sense for Dalton. He seems like a guy with his track record, his age, what he flashed when given a chance down the stretch, that he has a chance to compete for a starting job or deserves that right?
I don't think he deserves. I don't think there's enough opportunities, and I don't think he's anyone's first choice. And there's not that many open spots that.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Where could he go to potentially?
To me, the only way
that
he could be traded, because I don't think he's going to be very many, you know, teams' first choice, is a place where he would be willing, like Ryan Tannehill, to take a pay cut and that way pick the place he's going and get it out of the way early. Now, Chicago, I think,
then reestablish his value.
Yeah, and Chicago, I think, could work for that. If he kind of looked like Tannehill at Chicago and said, that's a place where I could have some success if I get the job eventually, and that the Trubisky could blow at, that could make sense. But unless he's willing to take, I think he's making $13 or $14 million now, I don't think anyone's going to be like raising their hands to trade for Andy Dalton, like to kick off this offseason.
Well, I think it's like the seventh domino. I mean, they didn't need to see where all these other, you know, We're going to talk about them endlessly between now and March, whatever, where Brady goes and, you know, the rest of these clowns. And, you know, Dalton fits into the team that doesn't get any of these people. And it could be the Chargers. It could be.
Or it could be the Raiders. I mean, like, if a team like the Raiders, you know, Jay
Gruden. What about the Bucks?
Jay Gruden loved, you know, Dalton.
Bucks makes some sense.
Mm-hmm. It could be Jacksonville if they get rid of Nick Foles. You know, Jay Gruden's there. John Gruden's in Vegas. I think he could have options, but it gets tricky when it comes to a trade because the Tannehill thing was basically a dump. They got nothing for him, and he chose to take a pretty big pay cut. So I don't know if Dalton's going to want to do that.
I'm just writing down teams that could be destinations. Chicago, Chargers, Jacksonville, Carolina, Tampa, Oakland.
New England. If Brady went elsewhere, he's been linked to New England through people kind of just speculating.
I checked in on that because I was like, people hit me up on it, and apparently no one's reported anything. I think Peter King threw it out I would guess Andy Dalton would be one of the last people that the Patriots would ever want. I feel like they are going to want, you know, like a rookie or just stay. What's the point of Andy Dalton?
Colts too. Perhaps that could work. I like too that there's all sorts of headlines that are like, well, the Bengals aren't going to put Andy Dalton in a bad spot. Like he's going to have a say in where he goes. But it's like, I mean, no disrespect, but like, I mean, I feel like anywhere is a better spot for him right now.
Well, that's a good point. He does kind of control it because of the contract, though. Like assuming he could just say, no, I'm not going to renegotiate to go to Jacksonville if he didn't want to go there for some reason. And then it wouldn't happen. He is due $17 million this season. So, yeah, that's not happening unless he changes it. Mm-hmm.
In other veteran quarterback news, a report from WDIV-TV in Detroit, Red Flag, came out this week that Matthew Stafford was on the block in Detroit.
Came out about like a day after our last show where we raised it as just a fantasy.
And the Lions, obviously, you know, they try to get in front of this because general manager Bob Quinn wrote a text message to Dave Burkett of the Detroit Free Press that the report is, quote, 100% false. I said it that way because the text had two exclamation points. And that's the only way to read that. Like, how would... Here, Colleen.
Two exclamation points. One is a lot. Two.
How would you read that as a broadcaster?
100% false. No, it's too...
More serious. Mark, I like that.
I can't top that. That was 100% false.
It helps Greg? To look at it.
100% false.
That, Greg.
Mickey
Greg
Mouse?
Has won.
Ricky?
Sorry, the board's so long, I got to walk to the other end of it. I would say...
Go ahead.
100% false.
That's it. Whoa. That's the winner. Ding, 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 ding.
Well done. Someone's been going to our improv classes.
Okay, I'm going to...
You're still upset about the boat.
This is the best...
Like, people make decisions. You
Greg,
know,
shut
they,
up.
They make, this they
is,
make rankings
Greg,
who they like
shut
better.
Up.
And then they... No.
You're so annoying. Okay, listen. Connie pulled the best prank of ever on me. She and I were texting back and forth. We're going to take the same improv class. And then I was like, okay, here I go. I'm going to pay the $500. I'm going to sign up. I'm going to sign up. Blah, 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 blah. And then went radio silent. And now I'm in this improv class. And she didn't sign up for it.
You were going to take it anyway.
No.
Also, it
how
was
much
too,
did it cost?
First of $500. All,
$500. You guys have a terrible relationship.
First of all, I told her that
you
she's taking 201. And it's been 4 years since I took 101. I had to get special clearance
but
to take
But I was like, are you sure I should do this? This is the date. This is the, blah, blah, going back and forth. And then I'm like, here I go. And I literally sent four texts. Like, I'm literally putting my credit card in. Here I go.
And I was
signing
like, I'm just
going
to make a sandwich.
Your guys' friendship feels like a minefield. Like, I don't see any, you know.
But that's how I show love.
Keeping people at a distance. That's
making promises.
I love Ricky.
But just so it's known, and Mike Florio, PFT, pointed this out in a post today. The reporter from WDIV in Detroit is Bernie Smilovitz, real name. And the Lions don't know Smilovitz. Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia don't know Smilovitz. He's not a regular team press conferences or locker room availability. He also didn't see comment from the Lions before publishing the story, which isn't to say that this is not false.
Smilovitz might have nailed it. We don't know.
But, you know, Big Bernie, maybe not, that this is a story to take seriously. But the Lions say, no, we're not looking to move on from Stafford. He's a top 10 quarterback.
So is this a Russian bot is what you're getting at?
I don't know, man.
They're coming you know, after the report so hard that you tend to believe them, but they also sort of have to because they can't get caught in a spot where, you know, Stafford is upset. You know, his wife already commented on it and, was upset about it. So you have to, you know, put this rumor to bed. And our reporters, Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofalo, also said very strongly this is not going to happen, which you would tend to believe because of the cap implications.
Immense cap.
$30 million, right?
They would have a $32 million on their cap of dead money, and actually their cap would go up. You know, they would have $10 million less in cap space just to get rid of him this year, and I don't think there's any way around that. So that I like the idea. Like, to me, it made some sense that if you fell in love with Tua, you would do this, but financially, you know, maybe it wouldn't make sense.
Well, so I did a sandwich wager with these guys on the last show when we were doing a quarterback carousel, not a wheel, and suggested that Stafford could wind up with the Chargers. That is before I actually did the requisite homework of looking at that cap hit, which I've automatically lost that wager. But I would ask this question. If the cap hit were much more manageable, would you buy that they would move on from Stafford? Because a lot of Lions fans are saying, no, it's like there's so much pressure on Patricia that they have to keep him this year. It's like, wait a minute, you can buy yourself tons of time as a new coach if you go get Tua or fill in the blank rookie and he shines.
I just think you're in a situation with the number three pick where there might be two really great quarterbacks in this draft that you can't expect to be in more than once every other decade, and that of that you would have to consider drafting Tua. I mean, that it'd be crazy not to. And yeah, you could trade that spot, but like, why would you not consider that? And you could keep them both next year, maybe, if you really wanted to get crazy.
I mean, wasn't he having a really good season before he got hurt with Daryl Bevell there?
Dan, you think it's crazy just because Matthew, you're going to get three more years of Matthew
I think it's
Stafford?
Really, really hard to find a true franchise quarterback. And the Lions did that with Stafford, and all their lack of success over the last decade, I don't put that on him. I put it on an inability to properly team build around him. And now what you have, to me, is a golden opportunity. You have a quarterback who was playing very well before he got hurt, and that was the first time he's been hurt in 8 years. And you have a chance to continue to progress on offense and then use that number three pick as a potential huge leverage point for one of these teams that do desperately need a quarterback, and you could rebuild your defense on the fly with a massive draft or two, and then all of a sudden you're in business in that division.
There's a strong argument for that. I mean,
that's kind of how I see it.
But I would say there also is another world where if you fall in love with Tua to such a degree that you feel he's one of these, and a lot of people do, a new wave quarterback of the future, NFL of the future,
right,
and you are married to him as an organization, that you are, do you want to be the team that's stuck with the veteran in 2 years now? Like the Lions, they were finally up at number three. They weren't 7-9 or 8-8 stuck at pick 14.
Right, if you think he's the next Mahomes or Deshaun Watson, even like John Lynch kind of gets out of it. Like, he drafted Solomon Thomas over a quarterback in that draft. And it's like, you only have so many chances with guys that high. And maybe this is all, you know, nonsense because Tua isn't going to be that guy or whatever, but you at least have to kind of examine it.
Let's get Bernie Smilovitz in the studio on Monday, if possible, Ricky. Actually, Tuesday.
I don't know if that's going to be possible. I'm sure he is very busy.
Smilovitz.
Bernie Smilovitz. Breaking news.
It's such a good name.
More quarterback talk. David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, still mum on the subject of Cam Newton and his future. He said after a charity event that nothing has been decided on the former MVP. It all hinges on his health. Here's a quote via The Athletic. I've said again and again and again about this. It's a question of how healthy he is, foot and otherwise, and that's still the number one overwhelming thing, to see how healthy he is and how we can figure out when he's healthy or not. Everything comes from that. There was a report maybe a week or so ago that the Panthers wanted to at least get a look at Newton before they made any decisions. So this all seems like, at this point, how much more speculating needs to be done on this topic, that they do. I believe they're sincere that they want to see how he's throwing the ball, how he's moving, before deciding whether they want to turn the page on the franchise. Could be all smoke and just they're already ready to move on. But I'm kind of just going to take them at their word and not personally stress out about this anymore.
I mean, I feel like...
Not that I was, but...
You're losing sleep over it right now. If they're going to move on, though, from him, like, this is the perfect time to do it. This is the perfect time for them to hit the reset button with a new head coach, with him, with Cam Newton dealing with all of the things that he dealt with last year. I mean, this there isn't a better opportunity for them to move on and look okay doing it.
I saw this quote, and I just thought, he gone. I read totally into it. Like, to me, they're far along in their decision and talking about it, and the owner's not making any commitment to Cam Newton. And Ian and Mike, I've kind of noticed the tone in their talk on TV where they think he's gone. I was like, he's gone. I think he's probably gone. It might get complicated because if he is hurt, but they're a month after this new regime has taken over, and the owner's like, kind of saying, maybe. I don't know. You know,
I'm with you because he's in the world of franchise quarterback. And if this were another franchise quarterback in another organization, right, healing, and this is someone that you wanted to keep for the next 4 or 5 years, there'd be no kind of mixed message. It's just very lukewarm. And I think that's lukewarm is probably negative if you're that player.
And it probably makes it easier, too, for them to see that other organizations are moving on from their franchise quarterbacks. So,
well, they're in a spot, too, where, like all these other teams, it's not like they're going to just – I don't know if they'd cut him. So they have to see what they could get for him, and there might be a price where – and what a lack of options out there where they just say, okay, we'll give it another year, but that they're open to getting rid of
him. I understand the clean aspect of the narrative and the idea of I'm the new owner – I now have my head coach. Now I want my new quarterback. I just would be a little careful about writing off Cam Newton. And just because it's time for a change in our organization, that means start over at quarterback too. Would I be surprised at all if Cam Newton got his health back and was an impact player for another few years in the league? I wouldn't be. I just think this is maybe a dangerous move. Now, they know more about...
Like Stafford, he was playing very well before his injury. Like, when he's been on the field the last couple of years, he's played well.
They know more than we do, I would assume, the Panthers, about the long-term health and the shoulder and the prognosis and the foot, which I imagine is something he'll be able to get back from. But, I don't know, this one feels like a danger move to get back into the QB Derby and just hope you could find another guy. Because sometimes, as Mark, you and I know all too well, it could take decades. You could be wandering the desert. I don't care how good your draft pick is or how much you fall in love with somebody. A lot of these things don't work out. You have a guy that's won an MVP that has shown it, and he's not that old. I know he's been beat up, but just change for change's sake is a little on my radar.
Right, and new owner, new coaching staff, but if you rip Cam Newton out of the Panthers locker room, what are you telling the rest of your roster if you don't have a clear answer to replace him? I mean, that's the kind of move that can divide a locker room in April.
Meanwhile, on the throne of sleaze, Nick Caserio and the Patriots agree to a contract extension. Remember, this is the same Caserio who's been there for a while. The Texans wanted to grab him and pull him away from the organization. That stalled out. There was some drama there. But Caserio now will remain with the Pats. And, Greg, in a time of transition for this organization, you got Nicky C in the building for the foreseeable future. Problem solved.
I mean, whenever they keep or don't keep people, it all seems like you have no idea what any of these people, what their value is to the Patriots other than Bill Belichick, especially in the front office. Like, I wouldn't be worried if he was gone. So
now go get Skarnecki back.
Is this, Colleen, you said before the show, there are certain things of this show you're not prepared to talk about.
Oh, well, this one, I mean, I think...
I've been thinking, what are those things?
He oversees the pro and college scouting department. He's in the booth talking to Josh McDaniels. They were college teammates.
You're ready for this one.
So, I mean, this is not one of the ones I was unprepared to talk about.
No one's going to know.
Finally, Jameis Winston undergoes LASIK eye surgery. The man who became the founding member of the 30-30 club. That's 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions. The man who, I believe, led the league in passing yardage, over 5,100 yards, but a true turnover machine. And now he's undergone eye surgery, which is a brilliant move, PR move, as he attempts to get a new contract and talk. I assume he wants the Bucs to stay in business with him, potentially in a long-term capacity if everything broke well for him. But a little reminder, now that we hear this, procedure was done, of what Bruce Arians said at his end-of-season press conference on January 30th?
Yeah, he's nearsighted. I mean, he can't read the scoreboard, but he can see the guys in front of him, so he's fine.
That seems problematic.
I just like the whole matter-of-fact nature in which Arian said that, almost like he put that out there on purpose, because he was so pissed at Winston at the end of the season that he decided to share that info and sling a little arrow.
I find it remarkable because there probably isn't a subset of human beings in America that are taken better care of health-wise than NFL players. And either the team has done so little due diligence that they didn't discover this was an issue for Winston until at the end of this season, or, I mean, why not have this procedure done, A, before the draft or in college, if not when Arians got there and found that out with the guy that he claimed he was going to flip the switch on?
Well, isn't he wearing contacts?
No, I don't know. He said he's nearsighted.
I'm nearsighted. I can't see a sign.
Right.
He had a
publicist release a statement that said like you didn't want to count out any options that could possibly help him. That as like presenting that he's being courageous and he's doing everything he can.
He's a pro, bro.
Yeah, like I think eyesight might matter a little bit for a quarterback. You're not a hero for doing it 5 years into your career. What is going on here?
I'll be with Dan, and I'll say, like, wait, who is that woman at the end of the driveway? It's like, no, that's David Ealy.
It's like if you go back.
Like, I mean, you can't see anything.
If you go back and look at, you know, his interceptions, sometimes he's catching Luke Kuechly in full stride. Like, he maybe thought that was Cameron Brait. Like, he has no idea what's going on out there.
I see it as a nice little deaf PR gambit.
What? I think it makes him look bad.
It is, because it's like, hey, if you had lingering doubts, if that's something that behind the scenes you've heard about, well, guess what? It's not an issue anymore. Remove one more obstacle if the Bucs are and Jason Light and Bruce Arians are hung up on bringing me back.
Well, got to get that LASIK money, though. You got to be signed up by LASIK to be a sponsor.
It's a great potential storyline, though, for 2021.
Oh, I'm so excited for this to work.
If he starts out seven touchdowns, like if he's like the MVP of the league next year, he starts out on fire and it's just like, oh yeah, I guess I was just blind the whole time. And then it proves he was the guy.
Of the year.
LASIK stock would go through the roof.
Oh,
because everyone would talk about it. It would be the major subplot around him. It'd be like every time he had a big game, LASIK!
Mariota would just get LASIK surgery. Just
everybody.
Bunch of pros shouting LASIK. Yeah.
Perfect. Anybody, guys with like Luke Falk is going to get perfect. He has perfect vision. He'll get LASIK anyway.
People are just smashing glasses.
You cannot get LASIK, Connie. Because
why?
Because a big part of your look now is the glasses. Like you've incorporated that into your image and it would be really.
I don't wear them on TV though.
Oh, is that true?
I don't. Well,
also, you can get glasses that are not, you know, non-prescription. That's an old Hollywood trick.
That's a La Raville Magnifico.
See, I have one eye where I'm nearsighted, Magnifico. And then the other eye is astigmatism. So it's a real problem.
Yikes.
Gross.
You're a mess.
Yeah, I know.
She's a freak. All right, that's what's happening in the news. All right, before we get to NFL couples who need a divorce, reminder everybody that a week from Tuesday, I believe it is, we will be at St. Elmo's Steakhouse. I have a reservation for 12. Mark, you're going to be there?
Week from Tuesday? It's that
maybe 2 weeks? I don't know.
Oh, my God. It's so close.
And and we're going to have a nice time together. And Greg, as Connor points out, because you've hit out at St. Elmo's about the quality
of the steak. I have not. You guys, the sensitivity to this issue from the two of you reveals more about you than it ever.
It's one of those. All right, go ahead, Greg. Get that out.
Please.
It's more about you. No, it doesn't work as well, the catchphrase over a mic, but just picture the image. It's not about the meat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's about the meat.
Oh.
That's what I try to tell Greg.
No one disagrees.
M-E-A-T, M-E-E-T.
Oh, I get it. I mean, it's well done.
And you, Mark, a guy who hates food, hates meat products.
Not true. I mean,
you go there and you have a nice time, right?
I don't understand this. It's so obvious that there's this like St. Elmo's backlash now where it's like, it's not really as great as everyone says. It's like, it's fun just to go there. Why? What does it need
There's
to be?
There's no backlash.
There is
it's
immense.
Totally manufactured
it's
joke.
It is a total. It's the new take. It's like St. Elmo's actually isn't that great.
Yeah, I got a piece of steak stuck in my chest a couple years ago when I went with you guys, but I never told you. I had to go to the
stuck
bathroom and
in your chest.
Yeah, it was just like sitting in my.
It was
chest.
Lodged.
Yeah,
different issue.
Yeah. Jeez so Christ. I don't get steak there anymore.
Is that the foods issue or maybe your
That's more of a me issue. Yeah.
Just wolfed it down.
Yeah. Mm. Exactly.
Valentine's Day. Tomorrow. How about that? Who needs a divorce? Get us going, Mark.
I came up with like 25 of these.
Oh, my God.
Because I think there's a lot of
divorce candidates. I see a highlighter. I see a lot of different things going
You're
on.
You're very prepared.
I feel like this is right in your wheelhouse this sec.
Some of these are tough because you have to spin negative, and I don't wish to do that to this person. But I want to talk to you about the record of this team dating back to 2014 when this person took on their current role. In consecutive years, 2-14, 6-10, 9-7, the high water mark, 5-11, 5-11, 7-9. You have immense questions at quarterback. We've just covered this. You have a roster that seems to never sort of play up to the talented pieces you think you've acquired in the offseason. The team is up until now, because they are changing their uniforms apparently, had one of the ugliest uniforms to look at. The general manager is part of that. Jason Light, to me, has outlasted so many disasters in Tampa Bay, and a record that I find tough to just sort of back him. I've met him. I think he's a good guy. I'm not trying to flame the dude at all, but like at some point, general managers don't last this long when you look at these records, and I wonder if, you know, they have to take a hard look in the mirror and not just sort of coddle and be overly cozy to their own front office. You need to make a change. Nothing is growing in Tampa Bay. The team is not developed.
So what's the divorce here?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their general manager.
Oh, wow.
That you move on to, like, you cannot float for this is since 2014, for more than half a decade with no identity.
A quarterback is, or a team is more than its quarterback, but I'll say that in this case, when you do draft a quarterback number one, it does complicate a conversation like this, because especially one like Winston, who's been so famously up and down, that your team is kind of held hostage for a long period
You're
of time.
The one that drafted him.
I mean, he drafted him, so yes. Yeah, so he gets the blame or the credit or whatever the hell we want.
How about
to sign
the bad coaches he's hired, the terrible defenses they put together? Every year?
I think that is all fair, but I just think in the case of the Bucks, the Winston has held the entire franchise hostage in a lot of ways. I don't know if it would have changed anything if he would have done a little bit better with I thought the Arians hire was solid.
No, I like the Arians hire.
I like
hire.
The Arians
it's,
hire.
It's the three before that.
Right. And also, I mean, we
said a lot.
And I'll just say the defense a year ago or, yeah, going into last season or maybe it was the year before that, everyone said this is a great defense that he
No, last year
build.
They were good.
So
2019,
and they said that about them 2 years ago too, and it didn't come again. Now, has it been all bad? No, it's not been all bad, but it's just that I don't like – and this happens in Chicago right now and other places too, where the general manager drafted someone very high at quarterback, and there seems to be a lack of self-analysis and a willingness to say, give me the L on this one. We're going to get a new quarterback. We're 4 years into this, not 6 years into Jameis Winston, please.
I was even thinking like O.J. Howard and the Bucks too. I mean, I feel like there's many mini divorces that they could do within the larger divorce.
Right. I thought you were going to Winston, which, you know.
Well, that seems obvious to me, but.
It does, but going into the offseason, I think everyone expected Jameis Winston to be back with the Bucks, including, you know, our main reporter, Ian Rappaport. But if maybe it's just because of the vacuum of news out there these days, but it sure seems like the conventional wisdom is now moving towards maybe they aren't going to bring back Winston. Maybe they will. Maybe Jason Light will actually look at this soberly and make a move. That Winston might be pretty upset about some of the things that Arian said, you know, at the end of the season, where he said so much of it is outright terrible, and
right.
You got to look behind what's behind door number two, and maybe they're a little tired of each other.
To your point, Mark, if this is his window right now, if Light wants to say, I can get out from under this guy and get one last shot to get this thing right before they decide that enough time has passed and it's not going to work with me and them. This would be his window. Or is he going to go down with the Winston ship? It's a big decision to make. Connie.
Okay. Well, a lot of times I go to bed in a bad mood when a game ends in a tie.
Right. Fit in the apartment, the whole thing.
Right. I think it's time to divorce the tie game in the NFL. Ooh. I mean, there is
love
it. Like it.
Very cheated that I've devoted my time and my energy, and for what? I mean, like, what are we doing here? It's, I feel like we have to sort of stop pretending that this is okay. I mean, you look around the other major sports. Baseball doesn't do this to us. Basketball doesn't. Even hockey. Even hockey doesn't do this to us.
The largest sport in the world does it quite a lot.
I don't want to talk about soccer, all right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Listen.
I'm just saying, yeah.
It feels like a slap in the face when a game ends in a tie. I just, like, it leaves me very unsettled. It feels like the entire game was just a waste of everybody's time. So I would like for the ties to be done with.
What do you propose?
Just overtimes. Just keep sending it into multiple. It just keeps going into.
So not a college overtime type thing. You're just saying keep running the overtime period.
So in theory, there's a scenario where they're out there for 7 hours straight.
They play
three straight
games. Yeah,
I mean, baseball does that, and they play six times a week.
You got to have a smart roster.
Right. It's a little
you
got to
build for this.
Physicality is a little different.
I'm with you 100% too, because when I look at it's like week 9 or 10, and you're trying to figure out teams. Because there's bye weeks all over the place. And then you've got, like, I'm looking at this, Arizona-Detroit had a tie earlier in the year. And it just jacks up the visual.
I like the idea, but you got to finish the suit around here. You got to finish the divorce. And that's what, you got to come up with a new overtime, which maybe it's somewhat like college. Maybe after 10 minutes, there's a tie. You have a kicking competition. I don't care.
What about defensive tackles have a kicking competition?
Either way, you can't have them just playing forever. I understand that part of it.
The only saving grace is when Rosie is doing his playoff, like, permutations. I feel like
that's... Oh, I'm Rosie in this. Yes.
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 Who else would be Rosie?
No one, but just for the list.
Oh, okay.
Rosie Perez.
When you're doing your playoff scenarios, Rosie I feel Greer. Like the ties actually make it more interesting. So that's the only time I actually like it.
I've spoke on this on this podcast many times. I hate the way the standings look when there's a tie.
Right.
It's 8-7-1 hokum. I hate all that garbage. But I will point out that since 2012, there have been 8 ties total. So we get like one a year.
8 too many.
It's not... One a year, sometimes none. Maybe there's 2 1 year on a really freaky occurrence. In 2016, we had 2. In 2018, we had 2. Last year, we had 1.
You see it as a novelty.
It's not the end of the world. I mean, I wouldn't have people playing until they dropped out of exhaustion like Colleen's laying out.
It's Survivor, okay?
All right. Let me throw this out here. Hey, David Johnson and the Cardinals, know when to say what was once a beautiful. You see Marriage Story? It got shut out at the Oscars, but nice.
Should not have.
Nice job.
Laura Dern got the award.
Oh, Dernissance, by the way.
We were talking Dernissance on this podcast 3 years ago.
Years ago. We essentially invented the Dernissance.
I think it launched as we spoke about it. I mean, she's done.
Got the Best Supporting Actress award, well earned, but the film, which chronicles the end of a marriage between. What's his name?
Adam Driver.
Driver and Johansson. That marriage started beautifully, and there's sparks and electricity, and it seemed they were perfect for each other. That's David Johnson and the Cardinals. And then all of a sudden, as time went on, it became apparent that this was not a long-term thing. I feel like David Johnson is one of the best buy-low candidates out there right now if he hits the trade market. And I know his salary isn't buy-low, but... it could be if you could work out something with the Cardinals about how the money gets distributed. But what we do know is that Johnson and Arizona are on the outs. Kenyon Drake arrived there in a trade last October and immediately kind of made his presence felt. And I know he's a free agent and there's things to work out there. But you would think that the Cardinals, if they really do like Drake, will get that deal done. And I just imagine that there's a team out there that looks at David Johnson, how he came into the league, the fact that in 2018, the injury that cost him the year was a wrist injury, not a lower body injury. And then last year, he was banged up. But it felt like he kind of got pushed to the sidelines borderline unfairly and moved out of that offense. There's more to it than people on the outside know. But if I'm a team looking for a running back and maybe someone that can make an impact and be a comeback of the player, comeback player of the year type. David Johnson, fresh start, but let's end that marriage because it's no longer working.
I'm with you. I mean, it makes sense, but the financials, as you mentioned, are rough because if you'd want to cut him and you can't find a trade candidate, which is very possible because I think teams would think the Cardinals want to dump him at some point. You're not going to sell high in a trade. It's a $16 million cap hit, and from a self-scouting angle, it's interesting to me that Cliff Kingsbury went and traded for Drake to begin with. When you had David Johnson.
Well, there's that macho NFL stuff, though, again, that I sometimes think about. Like, Cliff Kingsbury liked Kenyon Drake, and he worked with the front office, and they brought, that's my guy. Kenyon Drake's my guy. And David Johnson was somebody else's guy, so he's not going to be my guy. So get him out of here, because I want to build a team around how I want to build
that,
my
there's
team.
Also, like, he hasn't angle. Crossed 4 yards per carry since 2016, so right. He just hasn't been the same player.
I mean, yeah, the ego thing is one thing. He's had, you know, 300 plus carries since he's been back. He's not helping them. He hasn't looked good. Tape don't lie. I mean, he had the whole season before, with Steve Wilkes, and that was a tough offense. But Johnson didn't look good.
Oh, come on.
You touched
that
the ball three.
That was historically bad offense.
But you touched the ball 300 times, and you didn't make any big plays. I mean, anyone watching him the last 2 years does not think he's an asset. He was behind Chase Edmonds. And Kenyon Drake, and it's a tough situation. I don't blame them for that contract. He was so good before it. You would have never guessed, and maybe he can turn it around, and maybe Bruce Arians is the guy to do it. But it's
Jason Light.
It might
Bruce
be
Arians
the single worst contract in the NFL. I mean, he's due $12 million this year, and it's guaranteed, and he was like the number four running back on his own team. And yes, they could have given him more looks, but he looked bad. I mean,
I just want to see
him. He didn't look good.
He was not healthy. And
but he was healthy at
reason.
The beginning of the year, and he played the whole year before, and he didn't look good. So I don't know what it was.
I mean, maybe he's shot, and that certainly happens sometimes, but he's going to be
very young.
Age 28 season. He's still got – he should have some gas in the tank. I would just – he would be a guy you take a look. Now, that again, not at his current salary, but maybe if he could work out a deal where Arizona eats some of the money to get him off the books.
Well, and that's – if you trade him, that does happen. So it would be
I could see
or
that.
He's done.
The
Cardinals, that's certainly possible.
The Cardinals would be happy to pay all of his money because they're going to pay it anyways. It's kind of a sunk cost.
They've already paid
if
it.
If anyone
already
would even
guaranteed.
Give up a sixth-round pick for a seventh-round pick move, they would happily pay almost all of his salary because they're going to cut him anyways. There's no way. I can't imagine there's any way they would bring him back.
There was I read on this. There was a provision in his contract that was somewhat unusual. It's already fully guaranteed. So it's not even like one of those things like after third day after the league year. It's $10.2 million. So he could end up there again as a backup just because the way the contract
is set. I think they would rather
up.
Just cut him and pay him to go away than bring him back.
It just feels like he fell completely out of favor. So like maybe even a spot like Atlanta where they're talking about not bringing or getting rid of Devonta Freeman. I mean, maybe
he was so fun to watch. It's kind of mystifying. It is really mystifying.
That's part of the reason I bring it up too. Is like, yeah. is that just what it is? I remember
but he drafted him first in their fantasy league that year too.
People drafted him top five in their fantasy league last year.
It's got to be the steepest running back free fall in the past decade.
Todd Gurley.
No, I would say
Gurley's not entirely there yet. I mean, I want to see one more, but you talk about worst running back contract. Gurley is contending with the David Johnson one.
I got one coming up for you guys. Ooh.
Okay, Greg, you're up.
I'm gonna make Stephon Diggs happy.
Oh,
well, at least I think it's gonna make him happy. You can never really tell with Stephon Diggs, which is one of the reasons I enjoy him as a presence in the NFL. Is his tweets are mystifying, and you always think it's like about the Vikings when he's making it. Yesterday he tweeted, "Everything that was done in the dark is about to come to light."
Oh, God.
No, he did not.
a few days ago.
Oh boy. Dude,
I mean, there's a lot of this. There was a few days ago, there was business is business with his hands up in the air. You'd retweet, "You don't get what you deserve, you get what you negotiate." It's just, he's always sending, and this is showing how old I am, and it's like, Yeah, this is a thing you do. He's sending out the messages. It's fun. It's
but not the vibes.
And even Mike Zimmer's gotten involved. He's sent little shots about Stefon Diggs over the years. Going back 3-4 years, like little things where he's not with the program. These two, they just seem like they need a divorce. It's a bad idea, I think, from the Viking side because he's so talented. You should try to make it work, but it just feels like you can get a lot for Stefon Diggs.
It feels, when we did, I don't know if you guys know this, but I do Thursday Night Football.
Oh, yeah.
But fame. When the Vikings...
I'll take fame over anything.
Shut up. I would rather be rich. When the Vikings beat the Redskins last year, we had Kirk Cousins and Diggs on the set together.
That's right.
And I will never forget how weird it was. Like, their energy together was so... like cold and icy, even
not boys.
You guys were trying to be like, hey, this has turned back around. You guys had a great game. And they were just kind of like, yeah.
Uh-huh. It was just like awkward as hell.
Does Kirk Cousins get any of the blame for that awkward relationship? Or is it all on
him? Yeah, no, for sure. But I don't know where it stems from. I don't know what the deal is.
He signed a 5-year, $72 million extension July 31st, 2018. So he's under contract through 2023.
Nice contract if you were trading for him.
I would say, yeah, I think he's a great number two guy, like a great second banana, which makes me think he's in a really good spot where he is, and a grass is always greener thing. But he also is the type of guy I think that could potentially fit in with any number of offenses if he got set up at the right spot and continue to produce.
Mm.
He's not happy. He's not happy.
I think I would take him over Thielen if I had to choose. To me, he's a top 20 receiver. I'm with you. He's not like A.J. Green in his prime or Calvin Johnson. He's going to take
over. I think in his eyes, he is.
But man, is he talented and like an unbelievable route runner and just, you know, like, I think you're right. He could fit on any team.
I'd love
him. Go get him, Patriots.
Mark, one more time around. It's tough, Mark. So now you got like a bunch of paper.
You could do a speed round.
You want to go to Speedy? You can go Speedy.
I will speed two and then give you a third.
So you'll speed three, or it'll be two speedies and then a long speed.
Some fun ones on there.
Okay, let's go.
Number one, I think that the Detroit Lions and the number three pick should be divorced because the Stafford trade's not happening. This is one way to build your team.
Got it.
And they've not been able to, just like the Bucks, form an identity other than blandness for so long. It's your chance to.
They've
to
given
do that.
This relationship a long run.
Yes.
Let's stop
well,
it.
That's,
right.
that's
what
a
else
quick
you got?
One. Patriots and James Devlin. Give me a break. Falcons and Matt Schaub, yawn. Let's see. How about this? Chargers.
Wait, Matt Schaub is still in the Falcons?
Yes.
I'll leave him there. He seems like a nice guy.
It's not cute to me anymore. Now, this is the one that I feel passionate about. Is the NFL, and this was removed from written copy I wrote today because it was too hot, apparently.
Too dangerous.
Although it's spoken about on our network endlessly. NFL and the NFL's interest in any concept of a 17-week season. Mm. If we don't like the like ties getting in there and jacking up the standards.
You took that out of your copy? That's
yes,
the headline.
Ridiculous.
Yikes.
And like, I don't want some like records here. 8-8, I love 8-8 because it tells me you are mediocre and your record is mediocre and you can walk into any bar room in the country and no one can argue the fact that you're mediocre. Suddenly you're 8-9 or 9-8 and there is no, I cannot come up with one good reason for a 17-week season where they're talking about giving star players a second bye week so we can sort of start slowly morph into the NBA regular season, which is utterly meaningless.
They're not going to do that. The stars thing, I think they got rid of.
I just don't see any I don't need an extra week of football.
Teams would be given a second bye week. So just from like a nuts and bolts our lives perspective, frankly, that's all we can
do. The second bye week.
The week would be 2 weeks longer. The season would be 2 weeks longer because it'd be one more game and one more bye week.
Whenever this would not be a good thing for you, I don't think. I mean, for me either, because I'm, you know, math is not my strong suit.
No, it jacks it all up.
I mean,
well,
I like
more
an,
Thursday
I like an
night
even
football.
Number.
Be more Thursday night football.
Hey, I like where you're going with this, though.
Fame!
Give me the money!
What else, Mark?
That was good.
I've got a lot, but you guys, I don't want to take any of yours.
No, go ahead again.
Jaguars and Leonard Fournette, tedious, been tedious
for
2 years.
Ooh, that's a good one, yeah.
Yeah.
Redskins and Trent Williams, he's under lock and key for one more year. Trade him now and get something, because he's not going to stick around a year after this. I don't care if Ron Rivera's there or not.
Nice.
I'm done.
That was good.
That was good.
That was a nice one at the end there. It was a little Casterly came out there. I'll get out of that marriage, see?
The most important person in your organization is your quarterback, and the second most important person in your organization is your backup quarterback.
Hey, don't forget about that left tackle. He's protecting your quarterback.
Aw.
See?
I don't have a Casterly. So So,
do you have another divorce?
I do.
Okay.
Okay, so here's the issue. If your significant other is draining your bank account and is never there for you...
Ooh, don't project.
Come. It's time to serve them the papers.
John Ron Gonzalez.
It's time to say goodbye to the highest paid running back in San Francisco, Jerick McKinnon.
Ouch.
Oh, I mean, you're just picking the guy while he's down. Do
I
we
know.
Need to really...
Guy's being operated on as we speak, probably.
It's financial. It is
sad. Yeah. I mean, I feel like he's basically been getting alimony because he's just been getting paid. And
it hasn't worked out for the Niners.
When Belichick cuts him, it's like, oh, Belichick's cutthroat. He understands how to build a roster. Now, like, the Niners do it, and it's like, oh, poor Jerick McKinnon.
Listen, they just have a lot of running backs that they are trying to support right now.
celebrating a man who tore his ACL and then tore his Achilles in back-to-back
games. I'm not celebrating. It's just that it's like if another team's like, oh, the Patriots, they're just ahead of the curve.
Anyways. I would like to...
I feel like that one got brushed off. So Redskins and Josh Norman? That feels like it's...
Yeah,
maybe
that's
the Vikings...
That's
and, okay, how about this one? Vikings and Xavier Rhodes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, forget
that. No, I think
these just make sense.
Those are all happening. I think those are all happening. I wrote a piece this week, guys who could get cut. I'm interested in the Vikings in general, whether they might blow up that whole thing. Because Rhodes is one, but then there's Linval Joseph. Mm-hmm. There's talk that Everson Griffin would get cut, which would be shocking to me because he played amazing last year. There's another couple guys who have big numbers, and they've had all those guys forever, and they're one of the only teams that has real cap issues, and just like, are they ready to just blow it up? Because they've been doing it the same way.
Like
a long
it's synced up pretty well for me. 3-year deal for Kirk Cousins. You get 3 years of this to figure out Mike Zimmer, and if they don't next year, blow up the whole damn thing.
Interesting, because I am curious if they'll try to sign Cousins to a new contract like in the summer.
Yeah. I'd hold on that.
Yeah, and they might. They might. I'm curious to see, because this would be when you would do it. You would not wait till
he got over-eager
to get free agency next year. If you really believed in him, it's just going to be a whole thing again. Get ready for Kirk time.
It's never going to
happen. Happening. I'm going to do a little twist on this. I want a couple to stay together for the kids.
Oh.
The kids being us, the football audience, Jim Nantz and Tony Romo.
Oh, that's
good.
I'm with you.
Stay together. There's a movie that my parents, Deb and Keith, love.
The Notebook?
I don't think they love
that
one.
Doesn't feel like a Keith movie to me.
No. I don't like it, Danny. I don't understand. He should have gotten with us sooner. There's a movie that came out in 2000 starring Nick Cage and Taya Leone called The Family Man. Does anybody know that one?
Yes.
Okay. Keith and Deb love this movie. They watch it every year during the holidays. And the hook of the movie is that Cage and Leone are college sweethearts, and then movie opens with Cage having a decision to make. Is he going to stay in New York with Taya and live happily ever after, or take this 12-month internship at Barclays in London?
Internship?
Yeah, it's a 12-month post.
Unpaid internship.
Yes, to get his foot in the door and really launch his finance career. He gets on the plane. Cut to 12 years later. He's a hugely successful investment dude. He's a bachelor living in Manhattan. And Leone, she's settled down with somebody else. And then it becomes one of those things where a angel comes in the form of... who's that actor? He's the guy that...
Merlin Olsen?
No, he's the guy from Ocean's 11, the bomb expert. African-American gentleman. Great actor.
Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle. Ah. Thank you. Don Cheadle is an angel. And he says, what if you lived your life differently? And then he wakes up and he's living the suburban dad life with Leone. And then he learns to love that life. Anyway, nice movie.
Yeah.
Nice job. Nice job by Nicolas Cage in a big spot with that type of movie after all the action pictures. Anyway, if Romo took the money and went to ESPN, this has been reported out there, that would be him getting on the plane and going to taking the Barclays thing. And he might end up being richer than he could ever imagined. And I'm sure ESPN will bend over backwards to find roles for him to make their money. But Jim Nantz is Taya Leone in the situation. Mm. And will either of them be happier in the long term? I don't think so. I think you stay where your heart is, and that's the best buddies work in CBS, work in the biggest AFC games for the next 15, 20 years, and ignore the siren call of more money because that's what your agent tells you you need to do and that's what this is about. And just follow the money. Stay with CBS. They're going to pay you very well as well, and then just do it.
I mean, they're
choose that life.
They're already getting paid well, so at that point, why don't you just stay with the person that's going to make you happy?
Mm. There you go.
I thought you were going to say get Nicolas Cage back together with Lisa Marie Presley back in the day.
I think that's sailed.
Patricia Arquette, that was the one.
I think that ship sailed as well. Anyway, wouldn't that be a bummer, though? We speculated about it, but if Romo really left and he was doing Monday night games...
It would bother me. Unless someone wanted to wrest both of them away from CBS and keep them as a duo. But what I like about
Nance is the Masters guy. No,
Keep them together. It's like you're not messing with the beard and the beak.
I don't want
you're
that
keeping
to
Fouts
move away.
And Eagle together.
Got to keep those two together.
Keep them together.
Close it out, Greg.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of pressure.
I mean, we were asked to prepare too. So.
I know. I got a few different options. We've talked so much quarterbacks. How about the Los Angeles Rams don't spend a season trying to explain why the Todd Gurley contract actually made so much sense and that why...
Speaking of taking the L.
Yeah, like why, we're not using him that much or this or that. Or, oh, he's actually just as good as he was before. Just you... can't see it clearly. Even though he's got half the production as before, he's really helping us out. And just like they're always on the defensive, the whole Todd Gurley thing just feels like it's a lot of high maintenance, a lot of drama. They're meeting with him before free agency, which sounds ominous if I was Todd Gurley and wanted to stay with the Rams. I just feel like just take this L. It was a bad idea, I guess, to do this contract. And I don't think you could get much for him in a trade, but I do think you get something. I don't think he's at the point with David Johnson where you just – the contract is problematic and you'd have to give up money for it, but it just feels like let's move forward. I think their running game could be pretty dynamic, and there's just a lot of baggage with Todd Gurley that I think would be fine to move on.
I find it curious, the idea of another front office saying, we now want to spin that PR message for the next 2 or 3 years, so we'll trade for him.
Hopefully, like, in another place, he would just be like another player. He has this thing here where it was like, Todd Gurley is our MVP candidate, and he's the identity of the Rams, and we're giving him this contract.
They got sucked into the whole story around it.
Yeah. And yeah, he's guaranteed $13 million. So like Stafford, it doesn't really make any financial sense. You would have to be willing to take on a lot of that money just to get rid of him. But I think sometimes a fresh start, people say in divorces, it costs that much money because
the domino
effects,
though,
because it's worth it. Because you're happier on the other side.
I feel like what would happen to Jared Goff in this situation? I mean, what would happen to him?
I was going to say that honestly, when we have this conversation next year, somebody might bring up Jared Goff as the next guy that's got to go.
Yeah. I think that's
very possible. We'll see. Very possible.
We'll see.
I think that's different. They'd be fine without Todd Gurley.
Can I just throw out one more? I think the Steelers and Big Ben should stay together. But I don't think it'd be a terrible idea for the Pittsburgh go and get a Gumar. somebody on the side.
Which they've tried to do, and they keep getting the wrong Gumar.
Or how about you bring, like, you've got your...
A Saturday night girl. You got your Friday nights with the wives. Saturday nights is with the girlfriends. Not me, but...
Yeah, I would say you're not advocating that as a personal approach.
Need a Saturday night girl, Steelers.
Well, plus, like, you have this one estranged uncle, Le'Veon Bell, with the Jets that isn't really working there. Bring him back into the fold. You have this other wacky cousin who's down there in Florida making a lot of news, writing Instagram posts about how he's sorry to Big Ben. Bring Antonio Brown back. Like, bring the whole gang back together.
Dysfunctional family reunion. I just want to point out one last nugget about that. He's going to be 38 next month. We just saw, Eli was going into the tank, and then he bottomed out this year. Phillip Rivers obviously went into decline. It is a bit of a big assumption to now believe that Big Ben, maybe not the biggest fitness nut in general to start with, coming off a whole missed year with a pretty horrific elbow injury in his age 38 season, he'll be fine. There's a chance he's going to stink. And then what do the Steelers do? That's why you go get a Saturday night guy.
Well, so they tried. They've drafted guys in the first four rounds over and over. And if Mason Rudolph didn't emerge as a bottom, 4% quarterback in the league, maybe they wouldn't spin these words with Big Ben.
I'm saying I'd take Andy Dalton to the Copa.
Oh,
that's
really?
What set the table up right in front of Frankie Valli.
Andy Dalton does not sound like a fun Saturday night girl.
Saturday night girl is a thing?
I've never heard of such a thing. I've never heard of the phrase.
Infidelity? I've never.
Like I would guess the majority of our offense. I mean our audience, I've never heard the phrase. I've never heard the phrase or the...
That is a direct lift from Goodfellas.
Okay.
All the wise guys, Fridays with the wives, Saturdays with their girls.
Mm. Now I understand stuff.
Better have a lot of money coming in.
I think those guys did.
That's true.
They were very cash fluid.
Colleen likes coming on this show because, you know, if you're on NFL Network, you can't even throw in just little lines like, Ben, you know, maybe not one of the big fitness guys in the league. You can't even say that on NFL Network.
I'll get crushed.
But here, that's like...
Titans fans will somehow
not
figure out a way to come
after me. That's not even
the top
10 most objectionable things we've said.
Maybe. Maybe Big Ben is Rocky in the Shack in Russia right now. Nobody knows. And he's going to come back in August looking unbelievable. But, yeah.
That would be such
a... What's more likely?
Well, everybody comes back looking unbelievable in August. So.
He definitely seemed like...
He does not, though, actually.
Yeah,
that's true.
He knew
that's
he was...
That's what I mean.
He knew he was out for the year, and he was like... He was out for the year. He's like, this is a unique time in my career. I'm going to embrace this.
I have a giant starter parka that I could hide underneath and a big old beard.
Oh, that sounds great.
Let's fly.
It does. I think reporters need loose. The occasional IR... season, but leave it at that.
Sounds like my off season.
Connie, you've done it again.
I don't know what
There's that
means.
Brassy voice again. 1920s flapper. Got me. Came out there.
Yep.
You've done it all. You've said it all.
Thanks. I try.
What's next in the off season of Connie?
I'm going to go see a movie, I think.
Fun.
I've been watching more movies and...
What are you going to see?
Plugging in on news that's happening other than football. It's great. What am I going to see?
A well-rounded human.
I don't know. I haven't seen Little Women.
Oh,
maybe
it's
that's
great.
It. Really?
So good.
I watched Parasite last night.
She was robbed.
Checked. That what a
was Sight good?
Wild, wild movie.
Good move.
I wasn't prepared for what the movie was.
Subtitles, you didn't have an issue with that?
No, that was fine. I mean, it was a lot. There were a lot of twists and turns, and I didn't necessarily like the way I felt after the movie, but I can't stop thinking about it still today.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Joker, which caught a lot of heat. That had that effect on me. I was a little bit upset by Joker.
Like
after
unsettled.
After I walked out of the theater, yeah.
I'm with you, but it was...
And then it was painted as something else.
I never saw it. I would say Parasite in the theater was as like impactful an experience as one I've had in a movie theater in years. You walked out like...
But you skipped Hustlers, which I saw, which was...
That's true.
Like, that left me
that's
shaken.
That's true.
I texted Mark when I was watching Hustlers on the flight back one week, just how much I loved it.
You thought it was a good film?
I thought it was a great plane
watch. I was a little worried, though, on the plane. You know.
A little loose.
It's a challenging plane movie. I don't know what they included or what they decided not to include. It wouldn't. Yeah, you've got people two rows back looking at
what I'm saying. Greg Rosenthal is watching on
television.
I wasn't worried about that so much as like the seven-year-old kid like two seats next
to you. You always have children on your mind in a good way. You care about children.
I think it's one of your qualities.
And I'll throw it out since I brought it up earlier. The Family Man, 2000, Nick Cage, Tay Leone.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
Some respect here. Put some respect on Don.
Maybe don't watch it now. Do the Keith and Deb move. Wait till the holidays.
Okay.
You curl up with the man and the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And a little eggnog.
That's great.
Check out the family.
Put that on the calendar for next year.
I mean, that was right.
Tia Leone's final film, as far as I'm concerned.
That was
he
right.
Done anything since.
Ouch.
Ooh.
Damn.
He's asking.
Leone takedown in a big spot.
He was.
I feel like she vanished.
Nick Cage was having some big hits. I mean, he was in a good run there. Had Adaptation around there.
Yes.
Matchstick Men was a little underrated. Bringing Out the Dead was good. I mean, Gone in 60 Seconds. He was doing like three a year
Gone in 60 Seconds
was
not
terrible.
Tay Leone had a pretty awful divorce with the dude from...
David Duchovny.
Duchovny.
Right.
Oh.
Which I think kind of sidetracked her.
I forgot about that.
All right. That was a divorce. See?
I'm on her side. It was a fair question. I don't feel like she's, you know, dazzling Hollywood at this
Speaking
point.
Of infidelity, that Duchovny was a cad.
He had a Saturday night lady. What was it?
He had many ladies. Every day of the week. All right. So we'll be back on Tuesday. It's President's Day. And I know that Wes is away for the weekend. I'm going up to the mountain that you were just at.
Yeah.
Mark, you're getting loose. I know. Greg's going nuts. More on a solo tip.
Bar dance Santa Monica.
Yeah, we got a big date Saturday night. Me and Emeka. But no, I wouldn't say getting too crazy.
So we'll be back Tuesday. I'm
Greg
sure.
pointing out that he doesn't have a Saturday. We, you know, he's going out with his wife on Saturday night. Oh. So.
Hey.
I never heard of the term.
I'm a one-woman man. The vows, they mean
I'm trying. I'm
me.
Looking out for the listeners. We if,
oh, the listener.
If Colleen and I don't know what a Saturday girl
what?
Is, who does?
Dan, I'd like to know how you know so much about this.
Greg looking out for the listener for the first time in roughly 7 years.
Greg's on his burner right now.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Ricky. I love you. I just want you to know that.
Ricky, are we cool? Are we good?
Yeah, that's...
How are we?
Let's see if that divorce is happening.
Yeah, no, we're all right.
We're working through it.
Yeah, I'm... I got a support group of an improv class that you're not in, so...
I'm going to take the accelerated one and catch up.
There's a saying, Colleen, called kidding on the square, when someone is joking around, but they mean it. I think... I'm just going to say this, and the time's not great, because now we're going to end the show, and then you guys are going to be face-to-face, but... Mm-hmm. I think maybe it might be a time to maybe do a show of friendship, like maybe a spa day together.
Oh.
Something to show that you value Erica, that you love spending time with her, because who wouldn't? And that will kind of clear the decks of any lingering animosity about some recent events that have occurred.
Erica, we could go get a facial.
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right.
Great.
This is Dan Hansa signing off. Four. Quiet Storm. Connie Fox. Oh, don't forget about this sweepstakes, the ATN podcast at Gmail. Till Tuesday.